he was one of the architects that worked on Carmelitas, that was during the war, and actually the construction was kind of helpful to the economy, I think, when the government...
Well, the Joseph Bixby Company had a lot of financial problems. It had so many debts. The Security, now this is a plug for Security Bank. Security Bank carried them in times of trouble. At the same time, the Bank of America was foreclosing on its borrowers who were in the same condition and wiping them out. But the Security Bank carried them, and until they could get things worked out. The Joseph Bixby Company had a big ranch over in Orange County that they sold off for, I think, $100,000. This is, you know, at the depths of the Depression, and the bank had to have money. And it's probably worth $100 million now. Like Mary was telling me about a friend of ours who's he was one of them that bought some of that Joseph Bixby land over there. He bought a, for $5,000, he bought a little ranch property, and he's gotten several $1 million out of it. And his father had bought a piece of worthless land for $2,500. He'd been a banker over in Orange, where the down there in Santa Ana, they call the city.
Yes,
stuff
yes.
Was built. Mm-hmm. He is kind of low, swampy land down there, mm-hmm. and given it to these, his son. He sold it for $2 million.
Mm-hmm. Either boom or a famine with that land ownership, I guess.
I can't understand how families can buy houses now the way the prices are here in Long Beach. You're talking about up in the hundreds of thousands, $100,000 or $200,000. And you figure interest at 12% or whatever on that much money. I don't see how they can do it.
No. I think it means that the husband and wife both have to work.
Yeah.
And that changes the whole family structure.
We have a daughter who lives up in, now in Turlock.
Oh.
And the prices are not as high up there.
My sister-in-law and brother-in-law live in Turlock.
Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
My daughter just moved there. She, her son is going to, it's called a university now, Stanislaus State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was called college, now it's called university. My grandson's going there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to move in close there, and they couldn't rent any place because they had dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. So they bought a place.
Mm-hmm.
And so much more reasonable than down here. Mm-hmm. New place.
Well, one of the interesting things with all of the Alamitos Company and Bixby Land is when this land was all sort of divided up, and was it the Joplin Bixby Company that sold land to Senator Clark in that Montana Ranch Company way out in about 1900 or so?
I think that was the Fred Bixby.
Oh, I see.
Fred Bixby family. You see, the Fred Bixby family had tremendous holdings, and his father, I believe, was John Bixby.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of it, I think he was the one that sold that.
I know that Mr. Bixby, Llewellyn Bixby.
I never represented the Fred Bixby end in any way.
Llewellyn Bixby told me that about the sugar factory in Los Alamitos,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and he said that sometime if I come down to the office, they've got some flyers where they're recruiting people from Belgium and Holland to grow sugar beets. I didn't realize that Los Alamitos had been a company town at one time.
Yeah, the Bixby Land Company has some interest still way out east there possible rights away that they granted with possible reversionary rights. But that's a problem now. I mean, it's a nice problem because it creates a problem for the people that are out there.
Well, what happens when, for example, the state says, I am going to build a freeway right through this property?
They condemn it, and then they can take it by condemnation, and then unless they agree on a price, you go to court, and the value is fixed. And inverse condemnation is where what happened here to the $9 million park. Inverse condemnation is where, in effect, the public body takes a piece of property. They refuse to condemn it, but in effect they take it by refusing to let you use it for anything. Then the owner of the property can say, in effect, you've taken it. And that's what happened over here. They would not let them. Alameda's owned this, you know, originally. And Alameda's Land Company. And Alameda's Land Company, after Llewellyn was in charge there, developed a possible lease for a very high-class, beautiful restaurant complex, one-story stuff out there. City refused to give them a permit for it. So they saw the handwriting on the wall, and they traded for acreage down in Imperial Valley. And the buyer who got it, the city wouldn't let him do anything, and all the different improvements he wanted to make, this private property, say. And it broke him. So then he sold it to, I guess, Free Fairfield. There's an article in the paper about it. And then Fairfield sold it to, offered it to the city. The city wouldn't buy it. And he sold it to Mark Taper. Now, Taper was a tough nut to crack. And actually, what finally happened was that, you see, Taper had a development there that, under their present zoning ordinances, he could build, but they wouldn't let him build anyway. So he brought an inverse condemnation suit, and that's what forced this whole thing.
So what you had was land that was you were having to pay taxes on, and you couldn't get any return on the.
I mean, we're talking about 30, 40 years paying taxes and not letting them use it for anything.
And that was even before you had the state coastal.
Oh, yeah, long before that. And actually, the state was very dishonest about it. What happened was that years ago, before the breakwater, the breakers. In high tides, the breakers come in and wash away the foot of the cliff there. So they needed to build a heavy wall clear across the bottom of the cliff. So the city and the and Alameda's Land Company got together, and the city built that wall at the bottom of the cliff, and Alameda's Land Company deeded all of the beach. They owned down to high tide, say.
Oh, I see.
They deeded all that to the city. So all of the beach below the bluff belonged to the city. Well, the state, when they were fighting with Taper and all, They claimed that because people used the beach, it was adverse possession that applied to the top of the beach, too.
Oh.
Now, that is absolutely dishonest, because the city owned that.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't use the use of the beach as some of the articles, if you've read them in the paper about this park, they talk about how the city was claiming adverse user, I mean, the mm-hmm. public use. They were talking about using the beach that they already owned.
Mm-hmm.
I have no sympathy at all for the people who are handling that. I was in Darrell Neighbor's office one day, and I got a call from the state attorney general's office wanting me to testify because we're looking out over here, see, about adverse user of the of this park.
Uh-huh.
They say, well, that'd be a good. Hey, he doesn't want anything built there.
Yeah.
They started pulling this, telling me about the user and all.
Uh-huh.
I kind of told them off a little bit. Didn't do any good.
Do you have any idea what the city, how the city plans to develop it, or just as an extension of Bluff Park?
I don't know. I hope they do better than they did with the Queen Mary originally.
Well, this is all going to come out of the payment for this comes out of Cloudlands funds.
So I understand. And that it'll probably come out of the funds that otherwise would go to. I don't know this. I shouldn't say that. I wonder if it comes out of the funds that should be impounded to prevent subsidence in the future when oil stops.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not. Because there's going to be a problem, not in my lifetime, but later on.
Mm-hmm.
On that subsidence business. You go over, travel over, and in the Mediterranean, and you can see what time does to change seaside places. And out of Rome, for example, the frontage there on the Mediterranean was entirely different than it was in 1 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be different too, but in a shorter period of time, if we have subsidence.
Obviously not for the better.
No.
Do you have any feelings about preservation of any of the old buildings downtown, one way or another? Do you care about the
I think some of them, yes, but I think it's like, I think people have gone crazy on, some people have gone crazy on that and have things they want preserved that have no real importance.
Well, one of the arguments I've heard for preserving the Jurgens Trust building was that this was a historical building as far as the fact the courts were in that building.
Yeah, the courts were in it. But that was long ago. No, they had a nice court set up when the courts were smaller, and I mean they only had a few departments. It was a nice setup there up the top of the Jurgens building and view out over the ocean and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.